If you look closely, plants play a surprisingly large role in most holiday festivities, from the iconic Christmas trees that we know to poinsettias, mistletoe, even herbs used in holiday meals. Plants are the heart of many celebrations, and whether they symbolize peace, abundance, or renewal, our greenery brings so much more than decoration to our lives and to our holidays. So in today's episode, we're diving into how you can care for holiday plants, keep them thriving through your holiday season and beyond. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. If you're a new listener here, welcome. I'm Maria. I am here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy in your life. And if you're a returning listener, welcome home. Welcome back. What an honor to be a part of your plant parent journey and to celebrate the holidays with you with plants. There's nothing more delightful in the holiday season than receiving a poinsettia or an amaryllis bulb or a holiday cactus, maybe getting a cutting of a holiday cactus from a friend, an heirloom plant. But there's also nothing more depressing than watching that plant wither in front of you because these holiday plants do require sometimes different care than we're used to. So today we're dedicating an episode to all of the holiday plants that you know, the poinsettia, the holiday cactus, Christmas tree alternatives, and poinsettia alternatives for those who might want to spice their lives up with something new for holiday decor. Before we dive in, I just want to thank our newest Patreon member, Raquel. Welcome. If you don't know, Patreon is a wonderful way for you to support this podcast and the content that we bring to thousands of earbuds around the world. And when you join, you can get a variety of amazing goodies from bonus content of this podcast, a monthly episode. We have episodes to exclusive merch, to even getting one-on-one plant coaching with yours truly. You can literally give me your plant questions and I will coach you through figuring them out. If you're interested, you can go to patreon.com/growingjoy to learn more. But enough about that. We have a very exciting episode. I'm so excited to introduce you to Fareed Khalil, who's my new plant friend. He is from Mahoney's Garden Center, and Mahoney's particularly holds a dear place in my heart because it's a family-run home and garden center that I've been to multiple times because they're all over Massachusetts, and that's where my husband Billy's family is from. So every time I go visit Billy's family on Cape Cod, they're always asking me, his cousins and aunts and uncles are always asking me if I've been to Mahoney's, and his brother even took me to his local Mahoney's to go plant shopping once. I've been to the Cape Cod Mahoney's location many times as I've done gardening projects with my mother-in-law. So I am a true fan of Mahoney's Garden Centers and a even bigger fan of Fareed, today's guest. Fareed will introduce himself and his really unique story for how he became the plant expert that he is. But I love this conversation because not only are we talking about how to care for all the plants that you always see, you know, at the grocery store and the garden center, your poinsettias, your holiday cactuses, but he also gives a lot of awesome suggestions for holiday themed plants that really thrive in a houseplant collection. So you can have them, you know, on display in the holiday season and then continue to care for them, right? So Fareed's amazing. I hope you love this conversation. I hope it gets you into the festive spirit no matter what holiday you celebrate. And without further ado, here is Fareed from Mahoney's Garden Center. Happy holidays, Fareed. So nice to have you here today.
Happy holiday, Maria. Nice to see you and nice to be with you on the show. Thank you.
Yes. So excited to have. I've been to Mahoney's whenever I go to Massachusetts. My husband's family is from there. And I'm so excited to meet you after having visited multiple of your store locations. For those listening who don't know about Mahoney's and probably don't know what you do for them, can you introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Fareed Khalil. I work for Mahoney's for quite some time, and I'm still with them. I do the buying and the create products to have in our stores and have supplies coming to our stores because we have 7 stores, and I have to make sure that we have good quantity. I do connect with a lot of growers that we've known for many, many years. They are established growers through the United States and even up in Canada. And now I'm venturing into the European market, and I bring products, not so much to bring it already finished, but to work with other growers. And we all connect together to create products that I could use it for Mahoney's. And that's what Mahoney's became famous for.
Amazing. And you have such an interesting history with your passion for plants.
Yes.
Obviously, people listening are going to hear your accent. I know that you've had a very interesting, different collection of plants that you grew up around. So can you quickly tell us how you became this horticultural expert and the wide variety of expertise that you have?
It begins actually with the love of plants, basically, and the fascination seeing plants grow and the different array of the plants world, and which is endless. And you go from one to another and you become passionate about one plant or a group of plants. And then you discover there's so many that you need to learn about. And this is, you get hooked. And it becomes actually the love and the passion of the plants and the industry. It becomes your DNA, basically.
And this happened for you at a very young age, right? When you were living in Egypt, right?
Yes, very young age. And I went to the middle school going to know that I'm be studying botany and plant science and horticulture and agriculture. And that's what got me into going into this kind of school and led me to same thing in high school and same thing in college. And then out of college, I did work for a great institution in Egypt. It dealt with research, breeding, science, economy, everything that's related to the basically this industry, beautiful industry that we have.
I love that your passion for plants started so young and that in Egypt, you can go to middle school for horticulture. That's so wild. I wish the States had that.
Yeah. Believe it or not, in those school, they taught us how to make cheeses, how to make jams, and how to make rugs out of fiber material coming out of plants. And I learned photography. I learned so much other things besides the basic subject that you normally study in school.
Sounds like a dream.
Yeah, we had a whole day that we have to sit in the library. All you do is read books just for the whole day. And then you come the next time and then you do an introduction about what you read and what you learned and all of that. So it's a self-taught type of school. Besides that, you have all the other environment that teach you everything about horticulture and agriculture, basically. That's how I love it.
Yeah. Incredible. So what does the holidays look like at Mahoney's? Obviously, I'm assuming a whole new set of plants comes in as the holidays roll around and people feel celebratory.
Yes. It started, as any garden center in the U.S., started with the Christmas trees. So Mahoney's had Christmas tree farm in Nova Scotia, up in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they grow their own Christmas trees. And also, they are in an area, Nova Scotia. It's a beautiful area. There are a lot of tourists go to that area in the winter for skiing and all of that. So the business became a Christmas tree farm, but also it was an accommodation for a lot of these people to come. They have houses and things. You can go spend a week or so skiing and discovering the area. So we're still doing it till today. But we also had growing range exist, and we still have it till today. It's obviously expanded and became to almost 500,000 square footage of growing space right now. And then we went into the potted plants, and that was the trend of the industry then. Potted plants wasn't really the form. Nobody grew anything like in pots. They were all in flats or wooden crates or, you know. So we went into the potted plants and we started growing a lot of stuff in pots. And, of course, one of them is the poinsettias. We grew a lot of poinsettias and Easter lily for Easter, hydrangeas, all of that we used to grow. We don't grow it right now. And that's, it goes to the economy of it. It's a lot easier now to buy it versus you grow it.
Yeah. So I'd love to dive into various holiday plants that we're all going to get gifted or we're going to go buy for someone. I think you mentioned the poinsettia, probably the most iconic house plant or plant available, but I think a lot of people struggle with it. So can you walk us through what is a poinsettia? How does it get its color? And walk us through any, you know, some care tips?
Yes. Poinsettia's story is fascinating, actually. Poinsettias, it's in the warmer climate. It's an outdoor plant. It grows outside. I remember I used to live in a town in Egypt that the fences around your house is not like evergreen or anything. When you build a fence or a hedge, poinsettia was.
Wow.
Yes. And one time of the year, poinsettias, when it grows, it grows. It used to be grow like 6, 7, 8 feet tall. And then at the top of it, certain time of the year when things get cooler, they form the color that you see on the top of the leaves. So poinsettias, the color that you see is not really a flower. It's the leaves turn color. And it becomes red or white or whatever the color is. So I know a lot of people think that what they see for poinsettia, they think it's a flower. It's not a flower at all.
What is the process that causes the leaf to turn red or to turn white?
It's the shorter days once they head into the fall season and then into basically start the winter. This is when the leaves naturally turns the color.
So they used to be green leaves. And then as the season gets shorter, they turn red.
Yes.
And how are we seeing, you know, when we go to a plant shop, we're seeing the poinsettias that are, you know, in an 8-inch pot and they're maybe 12 inches tall and they're red. So how is that happening? How are you turning the leaves red earlier?
Well, this is also has a story. And the thing that I love about this industry is the stories, either people or plants and how they became to be.
I love that.
So poinsettias actually initiated the whole celebration. Christmas with poinsettias started in Mexico. And this is where the poinsettias really used to be grown in the field. And Christmas time, all the women and girls, they go and dress up and they go to the field and then they cut the colorful part, which is the top parts of the plants, and bring it to the church to celebrate Christmas.
Like a bouquet.
Like a bouquet. At the time, we have an ambassador, American ambassador in Mexican, and his name was Poinsett.
Yes.
So he thought about that whole celebration and he talked to some horticulturists in the U.S. and told them about, you know, how the Mexican people celebrate Christmas with this plant. And if there any way we can bring it to the state and make it like something Christmassy. So there is a big famous family out of California. It's called Ickes family. Ickes family took the whole idea, and also they used to grow poinsettias in the field and sell it as a cut flower. And I started thinking about a way of growing poinsettias in greenhouses and make the plant shorter with more branches instead of one plant going up with one bract to prune it and branch it. That's why you have so many bracts all over the plants, and it depends on the size. So, of course, the growing technique developed over the years, and poinsettias became a plant you can grow in so many different sizes. Even now, started like in 2-inch tiny plants.
So they've been bred and kind of genetically selected to be smaller, redder, white, different colors. Whoa, that is fascinating. All right, so November is bringing shorter days and colder weather, which our houseplants don't necessarily love. This is the time to start implementing grow lights in your house if you need to supplement your plants' light to keep them happy all winter long. This is where Soltec comes in. You know I love Soltex Premium Grow Lights. I have had them for years upon years. They will be your plant's new best friend. And they would make the most amazing gift for a plant lover in your life or a gift for yourself. Maybe you're asking Santa for a Soltex light this year, right? And they come in a wide variety of styles that can suit your home depending on what you need. They have the Aspect Pendant Hanging Light, which comes in black and white. It's their best-selling light. It's assembled in the USA. It's so sleek. I have three of them scattered throughout my house. They illuminate my dark corners. I just installed the Highland Track system in my office. That's what's illuminating the green wall you might have seen on my social media. And they have the Vita Grow Bulb, which is a grow bulb you literally can screw into most standard sockets. And of course, you probably have seen or heard about the grow bar called The Grove that I've put in my bookshelf and turned my bookshelf into a highlight haven for my plants. So whatever lighting you need for your houseplants, let Soltex hook you up and help you with it. And they're hooking you up with 15% off of your purchase. So you can go to soltex.com and use code BLOOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Give your plants the light they deserve. Soltex.com, code BLOOM15 gets you 15% off. An icon has entered the building, plant friends. Squarefoot Gardening is getting an upgrade with its brand new fourth edition. After over 3 million copies sold, Squarefoot Gardening is publishing a fourth edition with new plans, options, and advice that herald a modern approach to this tried and true method. If you haven't heard, the Squarefoot Gardening system has no digging, no tilling, no fertilizing, no machinery or heavy tools, and has less watering, less waste, and less weeding. Who doesn't want that as a gardener? It takes the guesswork out of every step, even if you are completely new to gardening. And the fourth edition, which is the newest edition that's just been published, has 200 new photos, 30 new illustrations, updated garden plans, extensive new crop charts, alternative mix solutions, including alternatives to peat moss, and a quick start guide. So if you're a newbie looking for low maintenance, lower cost ways to grow food for yourself and your family, you will love Squarefoot Gardening, fourth edition, and you will find success with this invaluable reference. And if you're already a dedicated Squarefoot gardener with a tattered copy of a previous edition, upgrade and expand your success with this updated and enhanced guide. It hits bookshelves December 3rd, 2024. So pre-order if you're listening to this episode before then. Or go ahead and pick it up at your local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. That's Squarefoot Gardening 4th Edition, wherever books are sold.
So that obviously took many, many, many years with the process, and different breeders, different parts of the world, you know, start doing great idea. So now, as we speak, the number of varieties that exist in every color is like endless. And every year there is more and more and more coming. So it's no more the basic colors, red, white, or pink. There is so many colors that it didn't exist before. They all have different names. It depends on the breeding and where they're coming from. I was in Germany last year in one of the shows, and the new poinsettias that I'm seeing coming, it's out of this world. And that's basically what keeps it going that long. I mean, the history of it goes back into 1800. And till today, it's getting more popular and popular. And it, actually, the breeding is done nowadays based on the trend, the consumer habits of buying. It came a time when poinsettias start to be stagnant because the new generation start thinking about something different they want to buy during Christmas, and also the challenges of keeping it alive. It became kind of difficult for them, but now it's coming back in a much stronger way because of the new varieties. They look really interesting. I can talk a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about keeping them alive, because I think a poinsettia is a classic gift to bring to a holiday party or to bring to a friend over the holidays. And they're not necessarily the easiest to keep indoors. So is it even possible to keep a poinsettia alive after the holiday season indoors as a houseplant?
Yes, it's a lot easier than you think. It's not difficult at all. The basic care for poinsettias, being basically a plant that came from warmer climate, when you buy it in the winter, the thing that really affects them, so badly is the cold. And being in the retail, I've seen customers buying poinsettias from the garden center. They put it in the car, and then they go shopping somewhere else, whether grocery or anything, and they keep in Boston, Massachusetts, and they leave it in the car, and the car gets cold, and this is when you start seeing some decline. So we always advise customers, if you're buying poinsettias, please go home and just sit it in a warm area, and you can do your other shopping and then come back. So the basic care basically is to keep it warm and away from drafts, whether cold drafts or even close to heat sources. They don't like that. They don't like any cold air or hot air going into them. This is when they start to declining. They're not very fussy about watering, but it's a good idea to keep them a little bit in the dry side, not too wet. And that's the mistake a lot of people do, and I did that many times. I want to keep them alive, so I keep pouring water, water, watering. That's not really the case that you need. They need to be kept evenly moist. And I like, you know, I know nowadays we have watering meters and all the things we use to figure out the moisture in the soil and all that. I like to stick my finger inside the soil and really see how the soil is moist. They don't like going into to be too dry and too wet. So they don't like wet feet, basically.
So evenly moist soil. So like let the first maybe centimeter of the soil dry out and then water again.
Yes, I always say the first 2 inches, and you can tell by sticking your finger down and you can see, to dry out, and then you water them. Also, because when we buy poinsettias, we always put it in a pot that doesn't have any drainage hole in the bottom, or they wrap them in foil and the water has nowhere to escape or anything like that. It's okay to have it for a week or so, you know, for the really close to Christmas in these containers, but you have to watch and check if they're sitting in water.
So if I have my poinsettia, right, because they're always wrapped in that festive holiday foil that covers the drainage hole. So say I bring a poinsettia home, I want it on my tablescape for Christmas, and then I want to repot it and keep it as a houseplant. Are the leaves going to stay red, or are the leaves going to revert back to green depending on my home environment?
Over the time, and that takes some time, the red leaves or the bracts, that's what we call it, they're going to either fade a little bit or drop. And then you're going to see a new growth start to form. And the actual flowers, tetia, that's the middle part of the bracts, and you can see it in the middle, that's going to drop also. So at this point, after the holiday, all you have to do is just to go and cut 1 or 2 inches from the top down, and you let the plant branch out. And then it keeps growing through the season. And by the way, when the flowers or the bracts diminish and disappear, this is when you start feeding it. And a lot of people, when they buy poinsettias, they think they need feeding. They don't need feeding.
Because they think it's a flower. Yes. And they're like, oh, the blooms need fertilizer.
No feeding at that time when you buy it and celebrate the holiday and everything. You don't have to worry about this. There is also the media that a lot of growers use has already fertilizer in it nowadays. It's already supplied. So there is no need for feeding whatsoever. That needed when the weather starts to warm up, and the plants become so active and producing so many branches and so many leaves. And this is the time, it depends where you live, what state, and you start to bring it outside. And I prefer bringing poinsettias outside. You basically bringing it to its original environment that they came from. It's warm, the air movement is great. It has all the element to start to grow back again. And you keep it outside till the days get shorter, and that's like in the fall season, basically, and you start moving it inside. In order for the leaves to change the color, it has to have at least 12 hours of darkness.
Okay.
It has to be in the dark. And that's what the greenhouse supplies. You can control the lighting, make it dark at night for 12 hours and bring it again in the light for another 12 hours. And this is when you start seeing the bracts changing color. This is how it's done in the greenhouse. Now, nowadays, sometimes you see poinsettias coming too early in the season, even before Thanksgiving. You see poinsettias showing in the stores and things. The way growers do this, they manipulate the plants. They provide shading for them to change early so they can, you know, move some numbers out early in the season, and then they can make more money that way. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's the process of bringing it back again to bloom. It's providing it the darkness for 12 hours and then another 12 hours in the light, and then providing the right feeding, the right water, the right temperature. And that's the process, basically.
I love it. Beautiful. Now, an issue with poinsettia is they're highly toxic to pets and children.
No, that's a misconception. They're not toxic by any means for humans or animals. Poinsettias came from a big family. It's the Euphorbia. Euphorbia, it's a big family plants, and it's included some of the cacti, actually. When a cactus breaks, you see that liquid white sap coming out. Poinsettias is the same thing. If you break the leaves or a stem, you see the white milky sap coming out of it. And this is the sap that if it gets consumed with big amount, all you have is basically upset stomach or anything like that, but not like poison that's gonna affect you badly or anything. It's actually, there is a study that came a few years ago that the leaves of poinsettias, the green ones, and even the bracts, the red leaves, it's edible. You could use it in salad, basically, and it does no harm. But I didn't try, but...
Disclaimer, we're not encouraging anyone to do that because that sap can cause irritation.
No, we're not encouraging that. But it's just to tell you that it's not a poison plant like a lot of people think, and they get nervous if it gets in their skin or anything like that. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Now, I do think that some people want poinsettia alternatives, either because they don't want to deal with a plant that has that sap or they just want different options. Do you have other suggestions for poinsettia-specific alternatives that still give that festive flair?
Yes, I'm a big fan of, and that's not only for Christmas, for all the holidays. I'm trying to make the holidays more interesting.
I love that.
And not to say that I dislike poinsettias or Easter lily or any of this. They still, you know, I'm still passionate about them and like them. But to have something new and different. And it's also, as a human being, we're into something different all the time to make whatever holiday or life itself feels different by day, by hour, by year, by... So this is where the trend is start to show up now. It's, okay, what else I can grow? I still can buy a little poinsettias for the symbolic part of it for Christmas, but I want something else right beside it to enjoy. And this is when I start talking to breeder and growers and learning about the trend. And it's not necessarily the horticulture trends in anything, in fashion, in color. I start to say, oh, well, there is a lot of plants that comes around this time of the year, Christmas, that can really play a huge part of the celebration. So this is where I start discovering cyclamen, lemon cypress, Norfolk Island pine, Christmas cactus, all of this, and now I'm actually venturing into creating a whole group of succulent and orchid to be part of that celebration for the holiday. Because again, the breeding is what encouraged me to. So I started introducing all this. I don't call it per se Christmas plants.
Holiday.
It's a holiday.
Festive. Well, that's beautiful because there's so many other holidays besides Christmas to celebrate, right? Christmas shouldn't get all the clout. I'm curious about cyclamen because cyclamen to me is a houseplant that was very popular in the 70s. Like all my old houseplant books talk about cyclamen. And then it really hasn't had its moment in this new surge of houseplant popularity. So
Yes.
Why do you like cyclamen and how would one care for it? Because to me, that feels like a much more accessible houseplant as well. Thank you to our longtime supporter, Espoma Organic. Espoma is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. As you make the transition with your gifted holiday plants, you might need to repot them, and you should use Espoma Organic potting mix to ensure your plants are happy. In general, when repotting, I have found a new hack that I'm really loving. Espoma Organic makes this product called Biotone Starter Plant Food. It's in the blue bag. It's pretty iconic. You've probably seen it at your garden centers. It's a plant food that is designed to use when you plant your plants outdoors. Like when you put the transplant in the ground, you put the Biotone Starter Plant Food in. Well, I've been sprinkling just a little bit in my houseplant containers and seeing great results. So when you repot, think about sprinkling in a little Biotone in there. But you should also use Espoma's general potting mix or potting mixes that they have for African violets, succulents, and cacti. Orchids, whatever you're growing, they have a potting mix and a fertilizer for you. To learn more about their organic indoor and outdoor products for plants, people, and the planet, visit Espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or you can click the link in the show notes to go to my Amazon storefront where I have a curated list of all my Espoma favorites. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. When I say honey, you might be picturing those bear-shaped bottles at the supermarket, but that's not what Manucora Honey is. Manucora Honey is single-origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. Plus, it has three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than that average honey or honey bear. Now, I love the jar and squeeze bottle. That's what I use every day. But I also love that they make these compostable honey sticks that are perfect for traveling. So if you're leaving for the weekend, you can still bring your honey and have delicious honey in your coffee on the go or however you choose to eat it. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manucora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit. I like to add it to my coffee in the morning. Coffee, Manucora honey. Milk will literally taste like a dupe for that brown sugar shaken oat milk drink that we all know and love. And lately, I've also been known to take that squeeze bottle and just squeeze a little bit of it on a piece of cheese for a snack. Anyway, go try it for yourself. Manucora, manucora.com/bloom to get $25 off your starter kit.
So cyclamen actually in the last 5 years, it became a major item that is gaining huge popularity right now, not only in the States, but in Europe in particular. And this is where they became to be as a house plant, flowering plants to enjoy. It doesn't mean it's a plant that you're going to keep in the house and enjoy for years and years and years. It's just for certain time of the year, let's say the fall and winter, where there is not much really plants in the winter, like the spring. So cyclamen became really a major thing nowadays. Also, the breeding created that whole thing to become really very fashionable. It's very what I call part of the entertainment part of our business. As you know, Maria, I always say this, we're not only in the horticulture business nowadays, we're in the entertainment business.
So how are they an entertaining plant?
It's the way you use them and you create the decor with it and you use it to celebrate different other occasions like weddings, birthdays, you name it. And cyclamen can serve you big time.
Because they're another one of the plants that's bred now that has blooms in every color you could ever want, right?
It's like the most extensive, wide range of colors that is out of this world. And I'll tell you a little bit about a story with the cyclamen. But cyclamen also became associated with Christmas time because the timing that they grow and finish is around that period.
Similar to Christmas cactus or the holiday cactus.
Similar to Christmas cactus, they like the coolness of the whole thing. They don't grow in the heat. You cannot just buy it in the summer and put it in a container outside. It doesn't really perform at all. It goes dormant because it's grown from what we call, not a bulb, but corm. It's a bulbet. And all these bulbs in general, they don't really perform in the summer. So it's great for the fall season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then beyond in the winter month. That's the plant that you enjoy. So the care for it is pretty easy. Cyclamen is one of the plants that doesn't like too much water at all. And it's also, it goes to being a bulb or a bulbet or a corm, whatever you call it. So the supply of water is already exists in the root system. So they are self-sufficient. You don't really water them too much. And that's a lot of things that we all go, the watering, when we always, out of the love of the plants, we always keep watering, or we feed them too much. That's not the right, actually. They also don't like watering it, like pour the water from the top.
Because their leaves are sensitive.
It's not the leaf, actually. The leaf is the bulb that they grow, growing out of it. The bulb, with its roots, absorb a lot of this moisture, and then it fracture all the cells inside it, and this is when they start collapsing.
So how should you water it?
Either you take it to the sink, and then you water from the outside of the rim of the pot.
The outer rim?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not in the center. Not you open the faucet mm-hmm. and you water right in the center. Or you can just have a little dish underneath it or a saucer, and then you fill that saucer with water. And the soil absorbs it little by little. It doesn't affect the root system or anything. That's the ideal way of doing it. They don't like also, which we do most of with the house plant, we like to mist our plants, mist them. I do not recommend misting cyclamen at all.
I don't recommend misting any house plants. So that's great. Yeah. My listeners know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they like good light, but not sunlight. They don't like to be right in the sun for 4-6 hours inside the house. So if you think you have a sunny window, oh, this is great for cyclamen. No, it isn't. You got to get it away from the window or the sunshine shining right on them. Indirect light, very early morning sun will be perfect in the winter. But after that, it has to be in a good lit area without the direct sunlight. That's what cyclamen really needs. Also, I go back to the fertilization, and this is something like we all need to learn, professional, regular consumers. We have to be careful with fertilizer in anything, any plants, to be honest with you. Feeding too much is like feeding a baby too much food, and you make him sick instead of, and that's what I try to be careful.
And you brought up feeding with the poinsettia, so if I buy my cyclamen in bloom, obviously, that's pretty much why you're buying cyclamen, because of the beautiful blooms. When I bring it home, number one, how long can I expect for the blooms to last? And number two, what do I do after the blooms die back to trigger it to bloom again eventually?
There is one way of keeping the plant healthy and bloom all the time, is to make sure the dying flowers, you have to take it out.
Okay, deadhead.
You snip it off from the bottom, and you take it out. That way you encourage the plant to produce more buds and more flowers. Now, I have to say, with the new breeding way right now, they're trying to create varieties that it blooms. This is just in the nature of the new varieties that they do. It blooms like crazy. It's very active all the time, and it blooms. At one point during the growing season, and that starts when the weather starts to warm up, the whole plant is going to collapse. It's going to just finish and said, I'm done. I'm not blooming anymore. And that's it. Same plants to try to bring it into flower again. It's really difficult unless you, at that time, you're not only growing the plants, you're trying to build up the bulb itself. If you are patient and you wanted the same bulb and you like the plants to continue and it have a very sentimental value to it, you could do that with a lot of patience, with a lot of care. But most of consumers, they just enjoy it for that time and then that's it and go on and buy something different or a different color or a different variety.
Okay, got it. Okay, we talked about cyclamen. Okay, the other classic holiday plant is the holiday cactus, right? Everybody used to call it the Christmas cactus and the Thanksgiving cactus. Now we're calling it the holiday cactus, so everybody gets to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. That has also been a plant that has been around forever. I actually have one that was gifted to me from a friend, and it's been very healthy, but it's dropping some leaves. So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on the holiday cactus.
Yes. I just want to differentiate between Christmas cactus and Easter cactus.
Okay.
There is two distinctive, what we call flowering cactus. They all belong to the same family, but the shape of the leaves and the size of the flowers is very different. So one variety that comes around Christmas, it's a big leaf, rounded, and the flowers, it's much bigger. It's more showy. Each stem, it produces one major bloom, which is big, and that's what you see. And around it, there's a few other buds that they're going to develop and give you more flowers at the time. The Easter cactus, it's the leaves is smaller. The flowers comes like in big clusters. It's more pointed flowers, but because it comes in cluster, it's pretty. It's great. It gives you the same satisfaction when you look into a large, big flowers. That's basically the difference. Both of them, they require the same care. They are a long, long-lasting plants in general. You know, we hear this story about our grandmas and some family, they pass on their Christmas cactuses from one generation to another. Sometimes I'm in a store and some customer walk in with a big, huge Christmas cactus. I said, oh, I need to repot this. I can't handle it. It's so big. And I don't want to lose it. I'm afraid to do the repotting because this is belong to my great-great-grandmother. And this passed on me. And it's amazing. You know, the story about it is amazing. It's such an easy plant to grow. It's really, I would say it's like carefree plants, as long as you don't, again, overwater. It's a succulent, basically. The leaves has its own reservoir of water and everything. One of the things that to make the Christmas cactus bloom longer is actually to starve it. You starve it in a sense of you don't feed it too much, because if you start feeding it, all it's going to give you is more leaves and leaves and leaves. And if you water it too much, it's the same thing happened. So starving the plants for a while, make it drier, make it hungry. It's basically you triggering the flowering process. The plant said, okay, I got to produce flowers. And basically all plants do this, because when they are feel that they are threatened, whether by not having the food or the water, the plant said, okay, so I'm going to produce flowers and eventually I'm going to produce seeds. So, I'm going to continue, you know, from one generation to another. This is basically my Christmas cactus, and I grow so many of it, I just ignore them. Basically, I don't feed them too much. Once every 4-6 weeks, I go and just, you know, soak them and let them.
Give it some water.
And let it dry completely. Complete.
So treat it like a succulent. Really treat it like a succulent.
You treat it like a succulent.
And do you give it light? Do you give it as much light as you would give a succulent?
Yes. Some people also, they think like succulent and cactus, they have to be in the sun. That's not the case. They need the light, but they don't need direct sun shining on it all day.
Okay. Yeah, because I had one of mine in a western-facing window. It was getting direct light, and it actually blushed. It like turned purple.
Yes, they do change color, and that's an indication of a lot of different things. Temperature has big part of it, and the lighting also. As like you see in nature, you know, when things get cold here, you know, they turn yellow, red. That's part of the process. Also, the type of feeding that you use. We always like, with most of the house plants, is to use a balanced fertilizer, that it has all the elements equally, but not in extreme in any one element versus the other. So balanced fertilizer, you use it moderately, not extensively, and you keep it moist, but not too wet. And that's basically what it needs. I don't think Christmas cactus needs a concern too much about humidity versus, you know, the leafy tropicals. They're not into that. I visited a lot of my friends and they have Christmas cactus and they are in areas that I think, you know, how they grow that big, beautiful leaves hanging down. You know, they're not in bloom at the time, but they look fabulous in this area. And that's because also Christmas cactus, they're very adaptable. When they get used to a location, they love it. And they just accustom themselves to be in that area.
Yeah, I mean, I had one in like really indirect light, arguably low light, like away from a northern facing windowsill. And it bloomed every year. It was very happy there.
So it reminds me like human being in general, you know, when you use to live in the north side of the country, you get used to the cold and the snow doesn't bother you. So they don't like big changes. Christmas cactus don't like the changes at all. Keep them in the same place. They happy. They get comfortable with it. It may not be the ideal thing that you read in books or magazine or online or anything. They get used to that and they perform beautifully.
Got it. Now, you brought up humidity. I have to ask, because I've had heartbroken listeners approach me about this plant, the Norfolk Island pine, which is a tropical house plant that looks like a Christmas tree kind of, and it's sold in the holiday season. A lot of people also buy it because it's a larger plant, so they buy it to put in a corner of their home or like to fill a big space. And it's deceptively a bit of a finicky plant. So can you walk us through the Norfolk Island pine as well?
Norfolk Island pine, to begin with, you have to provide good light for it. They like really good light.
So not a corner, not a dark corner. Number one, strike number one.
Exactly. Not a corner, good light. I have to say also that some people, when they don't have the light, they provide artificial light to it. To me, that doesn't even do the trick to make him happy. They can keep going and grow and they don't get brittle or dried out if you provide that kind of light. But the way they look, they kind of like limby. They're not upright. They're not fresh. It's because of the lighting. So the lighting has a lot to do with making Norfolk Island pine really thrives. As we know, Araucaria is just the Norfolk Island pine. They came from Australia, New Zealand. This is where you see them. Huge trees. They grow like 50 to 100 feet tall. They're magnificent when you see them in that environment. They're getting all the light that you can imagine, obviously. I've been in Australia many times and I've seen them and I looked at the Norfolk Island pine. I said, oh my gosh, is this the Norfolk Island pine we buy in our house?
Similar to rubber plants. It's like you see rubber plants on vacation in Costa Rica as like enormous trees. And you're like, this is my little 4-inch pot rubber plant. Yeah, totally.
I remember when I was in the high school and we had those rubber plants you're talking about, big, huge. And then you get those air roots. We call them air roots. Roots that's coming out of the plant, going into the ground. We used, like little kid, we used to hang on them and swing ourselves back and forth. So Norfolk Island pine is like that. In order not to make them just to die and become so dry and start drop the needle, you have to water them. You have to keep them moist. They like moisture.
Okay, so light and moisture, don't let their soil dry out. So with the holiday cactus, you can let that soil dry out. But with Norfolk Island pine, you've got to keep it moist.
Exactly. I would say you water it once a week. The most you can wait is 2 weeks. But the soil has to be kept moist all the time. And then the key thing is to keep it away from draft. And I would not recommend keeping them close to heat sources with the hot air coming. That's also that kills them. They do like humidity, so missing them is a great thing to do. Feeding, they're not really very fussy, but they still like plants and they need some energy to grow. I would just go once a month with regular feeding, like 20-20-20. That's the three numbers you see on the package. And you do it like once a month. That's all you do. That's basically the basic care. They do the soil also. If the plant becomes big, and they do become big, and you need to repot them, you got to be selective with the potting soil.
Because it needs to retain moisture?
Yes. Some kind of soil that retain moisture. And also a soil that's very light not a clay type of soil or heavy soil. That's what they like, because their root system, of course, it has what we call the tap roots, but it also has a lot of the side roots. So the roots like to spread. Repotting is very essential, so I wouldn't leave it in the same pots for years and years, assuming they're happy. They may look happy, but they're going to suffer afterward. So I would recommend repot them regularly. First of all, to change the soil. Secondly, it allows you to prune the roots a little bit, and that's great to initiate side roots, more side roots. And this side roots, this is what pulls out all the moisture and nutrients and brings it back up to the leaves and the stems.
And if the larger the plant gets, the more roots you want to kind of keep it anchored too.
Exactly, because they get heavy. And I want to also, because a lot of people think they should not prune Norfolk Island Pine or cut it back. No, you still can cut it back. You don't cut it back extremely hard, but each branch, you just kind of have a balance. So you trim the few branches on the side back either an inch or two. And that's part of keeping the plant healthy, basically.
Got it. You also mentioned lemon cypress. Tell me about that. I've never seen that as a houseplant.
Yes, this has actually became really famous in the last few years, and we do sell tons of it at Mahoney's. One thing that's good about it, and it sells around Christmas, is the natural growth habit. They grow like a pyramid.
Like a Christmas tree.
Like a Christmas tree. So that's one feature that people like about being looking that look for the holiday. They also produce that amazing, amazing lemony, citrusy smell just by walking by it or even touch it. I mean, the smell of a lemon is more intense that you can't even get it from a true lemon.
Right. That's amazing. And can you keep those as houseplants after, or that's really just something you're buying?
Yes, you can keep them years and years and years and years.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, very easy. They consider like an evergreen, like any of the outside evergreen that we see, the true cypress and all of that. So pruning them is a great way of also energize the plant to keep growing. Also repotting them. They're going to become, their root system is going to become very crowded. So you need to take it out of the pots and trim them and switch it to another pot with fresh soil. They like the soil to be a little bit sandy.
Okay.
Has sand, horticulture sand in it. That helps with the drainage and everything.
With the drainage,
yes.
Yeah.
They like good light for sure. Actually, direct sunlight will be very helpful to them. 3-4 hours of direct sunlight, it'll be great. They also like humidity, believe it or not, especially if you keep them in the house. It's the same thing like with the Norfolk Island pine. You wanna keep them from really cold draft or heat sources nearby or anything like that. They don't like that. They dry out sometimes. And just to keep pruning them and shaping them all the time, and they can live for years.
It's amazing. This has been so incredible. I want to go out and get every single plant we talked about this holiday season. Can you tell us more about Mahoney's? So if anybody is listening in the Massachusetts area, I am very fond of Mahoney's because it's actually my husband's family is from Massachusetts. And it's where my brother-in-law took me on. He took me on like a brother-in-law little date, and he took me to Mahoney's to show me his local favorite plant shop. So can you tell us more about Mahoney's and where people might be able to find you and go find all the plants that we talked about?
Sure. As I mentioned, Mahoney's is a family business. It's been in a business for over 70 years now, and it goes back to the original grandfather who purchased a big piece of land in Winchester, Massachusetts. Winchester is one of the most beautiful, typical New England type of town. So it has some charm to it.
Yeah.
So they grew corn in the fields. It was like an open land, and they had a little farm stand on the side of the road, selling all the whatever vegetable they grow, corn or whatever. And then over the generation, they got into the Christmas tree business and then into the potted annuals and flowering plants. what's unique about Mahoney's? And I say this because I work for this company and the family. We became very creative and became a company that is a lot of people in the industry to look after them and see what they do. We basically set up the trends for the industry. We're up to date with the trends. We actually create our own trends. We introduce things that is not trendy, but we package it. We introduce it to look like a really trendy, very different, even though it's plants that we're all familiar with, but we make it look like it's a new different plants. And that's what we, nowadays in particular, that's what we try to do. And that's what personally I'm very passionate about, taking an old thing and make it not only new, but really more fashionable, more interesting.
Like cyclamen.
Like cyclamen. And I work closely with the cyclamen. I work with two breeders that's the best in the world, one in Holland and one in France, Southern France.
Very cool.
There's a company called Morel, Schoenfeld. They're all great. So we always talk together. We even those breeders, they start coming to us and said, you know, tell us what we need to do, what we need to breed, what we need to work on. And that's where the key is in this industry. That's what I do, basically. Go travel overseas, everywhere, talk to those
breeders. The collaboration.
Collaboration. Yeah. Tell them what my customers is asking me. I also learn from my customer. It's basically, it goes back to what we need to let customer happy. Is we need to, I work on solving problems, consumer that they face day to day with their flowers and plants. That's what I work with growers to achieve. We have to be a problem solver. As you know, there's tons of questions and people are struggling with so many different aspects, growing plants. And you know, the beautiful part of this business, what's make it interesting is the challenges. You as a gardener and myself, I like to be challenged. I like to try things. I like to find out exactly the best way to grow this and this. And challenges and problem doesn't really deter me from keeping going. And that's what I try to do. So we became a destination that, you know, if you have a problem.
And how many locations are there and where are the locations?
Right now, we are 7 stores, 7 locations scattered all over Massachusetts. We have 2 stores down at the Cape Cod.
I've been to the Cape one. The Cape is insane. That is an insane. It's like a Disneyland for plants.
Yes. Of course, and Winchester, the original store. This is where I launch basically any new things. I bring it to Winchester store and show it and do all the merchandising around it and let customer know it before I launch it to the other stores.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Because I want to make sure that we talk in the walk about any products. You know, I don't want to introduce them in a 7 store, assuming this is the, no, I want to go slowly but surely. And so it's just a place that's very uncommon. Again,
and worth a visit, sounds like.
It's worth the visit. And believe me, Maria, we have a lot of customers during spring, during winter, that, you know, people sometimes would nowadays with the stressful way of life, the place to go and just to relieve yourself is go to Mahoney and walk around.
I believe it. I've done it myself.
Yeah. And I welcome that. I don't really care if they buy anything. I don't. And
just come breathe in the cypress, breathe in the lemon cypress.
Yeah. And you get into to know your customer and to know their personality, the way they shop, the way they like. It actually benefits us and it educates us about what we need to do for years to come and like that. So that's the beauty of Mahoney's. So
beautiful. And you can find them at mahoneysgarden.com and Mahoney's Garden on socials as well. Fareed, you are a delight to talk to. I hope to have you back on the show. You're such a treasure trove of knowledge. And
thank you.
Until next time, I hope to see you in person on Cape one day.
Absolutely. And please come visit us in Winchester also. I would love to take you around and show you some of the other stores.
I would love it. It'd be so fun.
Yeah, we have a store in the city, by the way, close to Boston City. And that store is amazing. It's different.
What location is it in?
Brighton.
I've been to that store. That's the Brighton location is where my brother-in-law took me.
Yeah. So now if you see it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We just built state-of-the-art retail Dutch greenhouse that is huge, that is beautiful. And it's amazing now to see it. So.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I love it.
So we do a lot of, because Boston, as you know, it has a lot of schools, a lot of hospitals, a lot of famous. We have a lot of students that they shop. They like to buy pots, plants.
We have so many listeners of this podcast that are in college. Shout out to our college listeners. I can't believe, I wish I had plants in college. I only found plants when I was 27 years old. I can't imagine my stress, like the ability to have plants in your dorm room in college. That must have been, it must be so amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
So great. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Thank you so much to Fareed for this special episode. I hope he joins me again. If you are ever in the Massachusetts area, you must go check out Mahoney's. It is a family-run garden center. They have 7 locations across the state. Each location has its own vibe, but so family-friendly, so fun, amazing plants, amazing quality, and also like amazing garden decor. They have everything. I freaking love it. Every time I go to the Cape to visit Billy's family, we normally make a stop at Mahoney's, and it's hard for me not to buy everything and bring it all home. And now that I live in Florida, it'll be harder. Share this episode with your friends, right? This is a great entry episode for plant lovers because many of us get gifted these plants in the holidays. So it's a helpful resource. I hope it helps you. But most importantly, my sweet plant friends, I hope it helps you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.